Wayne State.
You're joining us tonight, and we are live right here in the studio as we usually are, and we will take your calls and or texts if you would like to communicate with us during this show. I'm Mama Mac, along with my very famous co-host, Dr. Angel Falzone. How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Yeah, excited about the show. We started a new series last week and always look forward to it. First show of our brand new year, 2018, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, our email address is goyard2014@gmail.com, and the reason that is because we began this show in 2014. This year, and September will be our fourth year anniversary. So we're coming right along.
Can you believe that?
No, it's weird. It's very weird. And I mean, because this show is such a fun show to do, I think it just goes by, the hour goes by so quickly for both of us every time, and we're just like, whoa, it's over, oh, wow.
I know, I feel like we sit in the seat, and then, like, I blink, and now it's, like, sign-off time.
That's it. And one of the reasons is, I believe we are covering topics that help people, and that is a blessing to us to be able to do that, to not just have fluff topics. This is a serious type show. We have fun, though. We have a lot of fun.
We do that.
Yes. Especially on days we celebrate your birthday, which is coming up this year again. So I just want you to remember that. But anyway, we always have fun on the show, but we try to really bring some real life issues forefront and deal with them as we are now in this new series. We still don't have a title for it.
We really don't have a title.
How about overcoming anxiety?
There you go.
All right. That's the only thing I've been able to come up with, because it's on anxiety. Overcoming anxiety, because it can be overcome. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. It can be overcome. And it can feel like it's overcoming you at times.
Yes.
And that's the magic, I think, of our show, too, is that not only we get in the nitty-gritty of things, but we give our listeners great tools and things to help them get through.
Help them, yes. And that's the goal, to help you deal with these major issues in your life. And there's not a one of us on this planet that has not experienced anxiety, correct?
Oh, I think everybody's experienced it from time to time.
Yeah. I mean, it's just something that we all have to deal with. And sometimes we have to deal with it for prolonged periods of time. And sometimes it becomes a way of life. We kind of talked about that last week. If you missed the first show in this series, go to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcasts, go to Go Yard, the name of the show, and you can listen again to last week's show, which was part one of overcoming anxiety. So, you know, is it possible to overcome? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
You kept saying last week that there's hope for those out there that struggle with anxiety on a daily or sometimes moment-by-moment basis.
There is hope. And that is, to me, that's the cool part about it all, is that, you know, for a lot of people, anxiety has kind of become a way of life for them.
Exactly,
You know, last week we talked about how the average onset of anxiety is around 11 years old for childhood
Wow.
disorders. And so that's young.
Yeah, that is.
And so when we're in our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and we could have been experiences all the way back from our childhood.
Now, we're not saying everybody starts anxiety at 11. We're saying what? But clarify that.
Children who are diagnosed around age 11. Some adults are diagnosed. It can happen. Anxiety is one of those things that can kind of happen to us at any point in our life.
Okay. And so you can be going along in life, smooth sailing, everything's fine. You occasionally worry or have some concerns, but you're not in full-blown anxiety.
And then maybe something happens. Maybe something's not happened. Maybe all of a sudden you just find yourself feeling anxious more, and you're not even really sure why.
Okay. How does anxious feel? Let's talk about that.
Well, that's a great one. So when we're talking about anxiety, it's that nervousness and that unease. It's kind of that feeling of fear. Fear is always a foundation to anxiety.
Okay.
And it's just excessive. You feel like you can't control it. You can't turn it off. You can't turn the fear and the worry off.
You can't just talk yourself out of it.
Right. So it's interfering with your life. Maybe you're not wanting to do things you should do or be around people or whatever because you have this worry happening to you.
What about restlessness? Where does that come in?
Restlessness is definitely something that can come in with anxiety.
You want to describe that or define restlessness for our audience?
One.
That's a big one. Some people may not even understand what that means.
It's kind of where you just can't sit still. You know, you'll see people where they like shake their leg all the time or wiggle something, or they just are pacing the floor. I remember I was working with someone when they were going through their divorce, and when we were doing counseling, they couldn't even sit in the seat. They were like pacing back and forth the entire.
Really?
That's restlessness.
Yeah.
It's just that feeling like, and you're not even almost aware that you're moving. Like it's almost just, it's just happening. Your body's just doing it.
All right. I've seen people that, you know, get up and down or walk around the room or whatever, that kind of thing. That's really what you're describing.
Absolutely. We just, you can't, and just it's, don't feel at ease when you're sitting
you're
still.
You're just not feeling at ease. Okay. So it's a common mental disorder, right?
Oh, absolutely. Anxiety is one of the number one diagnosed mental disorders. So it affects, you know, about 15% of people during their lifetime will have a diagnosable level of an anxiety disorder.
So there's differences between feeling anxious and having a diagnosable level of anxiety. That's what I just heard you say.
Absolutely, there's a difference. So the difference line when we're really looking at it and not getting too clinical is how it interferes with your life.
Okay.
So a lot of people will feel anxious. It may be situational. It might just be a specific time period. And then, but they're still able to still work and do the things they want to do for the most part. They just may be having that worry feeling or maybe not able to settle down at night and sleep, but they're still able to live their life fairly well. That's not a diagnosable level, and that's very common.
Okay,
many people
so
are there.
I want you to talk about the diagnosable level right after I say that any of you out there that would like to ask Dr. Angel a question during this show tonight, we are live in the studio. Sometimes we aren't, but we usually are. You can call 727-441-3000, and our engineer Pete will answer the phone and let us know that you're on the line, and we will get your question. 727-441-3000. We'd love to hear from you. Or you can text directly to my phone right here, and I will notice when the text comes in, and that's 727-888-4171. Okay, back to this.
Okay.
How do you know when it's diagnosable?
Well, there's a lot of criteria, but the one that we really look at is how is it affecting your daily life? Is it interfering with your quality of life?
Okay.
So for some people, it's absolutely affecting that quality of life where they don't want to leave their home or they're struggling to keep their job or they're just not able to function well because they just can't sleep because they're up worrying all night long or they don't want to, you know, go into gatherings. That's when it's interfering with your life, when it's keeping you from doing the things you want to do.
Okay. Do people that are struggling with that diagnosable anxiety, are they feeling it coming on for a period of weeks, months, years, or is it gradual? Can it just bam, there it is?
Well, it can just bam, there it is.
Okay.
But it usually is a very gradual process where they're not even realizing that how it's affecting their quality of life.
Okay.
Because they've just started giving things up one by one.
Oh.
And, you know, that frog in the boiling water scenario, if you keep turning the temperature up, that frog will stay there till it boils. You know, when we're in a situation and little by little, we don't realize the impact. And for some people, something significant can just happen and it's like, hits them like a ton of bricks, and then, you know, so it can go either way. Most people experience the gradual.
Okay, is there any one thing that tends to bring anxiety, the disorder, on to people?
No, there is no single root, which makes it challenging. It gives us a okay. little challenges. So when we're looking at it, anxiety is believed to be a combination of our biology and our experiences.
Okay. So our biology, if you are the child of people that are extremely anxious, nervous people, you're great. You have greater chance to
Absolutely
be that
you
yourself.
Do.
Is that what you're
For
saying?
For two reasons. First of all, you have the genetics of it. And second of all, you've had the experience because you were raised by someone who had anxiety habits. So it becomes a learned way of doing things, too.
Okay. Wow. All right. So to the person out there that says, you know, I don't know if I have anxiety or not, or if I'm just one of those nervous type people. I've heard people say, my nerves are getting to me today. My nerves are reacting, or, you know, what do they mean by that?
Well, that's worry and anxiety, their okay. nerves. And that's because they're feeling that uneasiness.
Yeah.
You know, so that's an older term that people
I know.
Used to take their
they
nerve
used to
pills.
Say that, their nerve pills,
yes.
right.
It's really anxiety that we're talking about there with that. And either way, if you have a diagnosable level or if you're just having feeling that worriness and unease throughout your life, there's hope for both situations.
Okay.
And so it took you time to get there.
All right.
It will take you time to get back through, but it's very possible.
It's very possible to get through this and
oh, yes.
and to overcome it. Okay.
Absolutely. And then, you know, when you start getting through, you'll look back and like, oh, that would have caused me to feel very anxious, and you'll find yourself in a lot more successes.
Oh, okay. Because you now notice I didn't react the way I would have a year ago or 6 months
exactly.
ago.
Exactly.
Right. So that's hope. There's
that
hope.
That is huge hope.
Okay. So there's so many times that we find that a lot of people have things that have triggered it or started it. Can you talk about that? We kind of mentioned that last week, but I want you to talk about it again. It's very important.
Absolutely. So anytime that something feels like out of your control and you didn't expect can definitely be a trigger for anxiety, like an accident, a sudden death of somebody who wasn't even ill or what we weren't expecting it, being a victim of a crime, being a victim of a severe weather situation or a terrorist attack. Those are like these sudden, unexpectable things that can absolutely trigger feelings of anxiety. Other things are feeling embarrassed or humiliated. I will deal with a lot of people that, you know, they went and did a public event and they felt very embarrassed or humiliated. And now they're very afraid of being around people because they feel like everyone sees them that way now. That can definitely be one of those trigger things.
Right.
Just something bad happening.
Okay.
Can definitely trigger it. Maybe trying something and failing.
Okay.
That's a big trigger for
right.
people.
Yeah. And so when you try and you fail, it kind of brings that anxiety of, ooh, so why try, right?
Right.
Some people feel.
They start
yeah.
feeling that fear of trying
yeah.
something new, and they get stuck.
Right. Absolutely. So anxiety and stress, we mentioned this last week, and we talked about it a little bit, but we want to kind of recap. Anxiety and stress are not the same thing?
Not the same thing at all.
Because a lot of people would say, I'm just under stress, when they're actually having an anxiety attack.
Yes.
What does an anxiety attack look like?
Oh, an anxiety attack. Well, there's a lot it can look like. It doesn't always look the same for every person.
Okay.
There's a lot of physiological symptoms, things that happen. So rapid heartbeat. All of a sudden you feel like your heart's beating really,
okay.
really fast.
Okay.
You may feel shortness of breath. Excessive sweating. All of a sudden, you just may start sweating.
Those things sound like you're having a heart attack.
You know, a lot of people go to the hospital thinking they're having a heart attack, and it's diagnosed as a panic anxiety attack.
Okay.
Tremors or twitches. All of a sudden, your hands or your fingers might start twitching. Your feet might start twitching. Severe headaches.
Okay.
Fatigue, just feeling so tired and not really understanding why you're so tired. So real fatigue. Insomnia, we're just not able to sleep. Nausea is definitely a symptom.
Wow. Now, are we talking a panic attack? Is that what we're defining?
A panic attack. So
that's what we're defining.
It can be any
not
combination.
Not necessarily anxiety. We're talking
right.
about a panic attack.
This is where
attack.
You get that short period of time where it almost feels like you almost feel like you're dying or you're severely sick, which a lot of times these lead people to the hospital.
Wow. Okay, go over them one more time. So these are the symptoms of a panic
Yes.
attack, not necessarily just being anxious. Right.
Well, an anxiety can cause some of these symptoms, but in a panic attack, you'll get multiples of these symptoms.
Okay, you got a lot going on at once,
You may just be anxious and feel nauseous. That's a common one. Or have, you know, diarrhea or frequent urination.
Right.
But when you're having a panic attack, you're going to experience multiple of these symptoms. So it overwhelms your system is what's happening. So your heart rate, pounding, you feel like you ran a marathon and you didn't. Sweating, excessive sweating. You'll feel like you can't breathe, shortness of breath, tremors, twitching, headaches, fatigue, can't sleep, can't settle down at all. A lot of times these panic attacks will happen at night.
That's interesting because at night, if you're in bed and you're asleep or wake up, whatever, you would think there wouldn't be anything going on in your life right then that could generate a panic attack, right? I mean, you're resting, you're in bed, quiet, you would think. So why is that not the right thinking?
Well, you know, part of the theory is, first of all, our subconscious mind is still going. So if we're in that habit of worrying, our brain is still going to be thinking about those things even when we're sleeping. We're not getting good quality sleep when that happens. Another theory is that because you finally stopped your body, that all that worry just kind of caught up and it's your body's way of trying to react to all of that anxiety and worry that you've had throughout the day.
Okay. So when you lay down and you close your eyes, sometimes it just overwhelms you. That's what
you're
saying.
Which is why people will think it's a heart attack or an asthma attack. It can mimic those types of...
So affect your breathing.
And always get medical. Go to get a medical intervention. You always want to make sure and rule out that it is not a medical issue. And so... If you're really feeling this way and it's
overwhelming. So don't minimize these symptoms. That's what I hear you saying. Take them seriously.
Do. And, you know, I do have a lot of patients who'll be like, oh, my gosh, I thought I was having a heart attack, and I went to the ER, and it was just a panic attack. And they feel embarrassed, like they shouldn't go to the hospital. They feel that, you know, and I'm like,
but that's good news that it's not a heart attack,
it's great news you didn't have a heart attack.
Right.
Stop. We can help work on anxiety, but you can't be afraid to continue seeking medical help because it feels like something not as big as you thought it was. It's okay.
You're giving our audience permission to seek medical help
always
and find out what is going on with you, whether it's physical or a panic.
Absolutely.
Anxiety
Plus,
attack.
There can also be physiological things that make people feel anxious.
Okay.
So if our thyroid gland isn't working right, you can experience almost panic attack symptoms.
Really?
And a lot of anxiety. And if you try to treat it through mental health ways, it will help a little, but it's not going to help. It's not going to change your thyroid gland. So sometimes we want to get a medical checkup and make sure there's not something else.
So those kind of symptoms are not necessarily just related to heart conditions or anxiety.
Absolutely. There's a lot of systems.
Now, that's very important for our audience to hear so that they do get the medical help they might need.
And I always recommend go get your physicals every year, get your blood panels every year. Let's make sure your systems are okay.
Right.
So that you know what you're really dealing with.
Okay. So to the person out there in our audience tonight who says, I'm glad you're talking about this because this happens to me from time to time. I don't know why it happens. And I don't know how to keep it from happening. What is the root of this? What's the root of anxiety, so to speak?
Well, when we get down to the root of it, it's always fear.
It's always fear.
And it's usually...
Why do you say it's always fear?
Well, if anxiety is based about a future thing, we can't...
Okay.
We're not usually... anxious about something that's already happened because we already know the outcome.
Yeah, we know
it's
the outcome.
It's what you don't know.
Okay.
And it's a fear about something in the future.
All right. So fear. And for those out there that say, I'm not afraid of anything, But can we be subconsciously afraid?
Absolutely.
That's what you're saying.
And it's a fear of not knowing what the future is going to hold is really what it is. That's what the fear is based on, not knowing what the future is going to hold.
Right.
And so when we are experiencing that kind of anxiety, there's a lot of things outside our control.
Oh, totally.
A lot of things outside our control.
A lot of things outside
and so
our control.
And so we're waiting for like the worst to happen or like the floor to drop out. And that's kind of a scary place to be. And so your body is starting to think about what if the worst thing happens? How are we going to get through this? How will we survive? You know, and a lot of times we'll see people do the what if, what if. That is so anxiety.
What ifs?
When we're talking about something and I start hearing, what if, what if?
Well, and what if the situation, whatever it is, if we cause ourselves to go ahead and think of the worst case scenario, does that help?
Sometimes it does. Sometimes for people when we talk about, okay, what if you lost your job? And then you can make a plan
right.
to be prepared for that. And sometimes they realize that worst case scenario was not as bad as they thought it would be.
Right. Okay.
And usually that's the thing with anxiety. Even for the most part, if the worst does occur, which not all the time the worst is going to occur.
Right.
It's not as bad as all the thinking about the worst occurring. Somehow
and
in our head, it just gets out of control.
It gets worse in our head, doesn't it? And part of that, don't you think, is because there's that obsessing mm-hmm. of the situation, right? That just thinking about it. And the more you think about it, or maybe it's you're a person that talks about it to everybody, you know? And the more you talk about it, the worse it gets, right?
Right, because you're growing it in your head.
You're magnifying it.
Right, and the reality of it is usually not nearly as worse as where it is in your head.
And whatever we magnify,
we grow.
So, so to our listener out there who says, you don't have any idea how bad the situation I'm currently going through is, and you don't have any idea how it affects me. And what would you say?
Well, you may be going through difficult situations.
Yeah.
I'm not saying people aren't. I'm not saying there aren't things we should be concerned about.
Right.
But having plans to get through things like that. So that's one of the things that will help us reduce our worry is, are we prepared? Having
right.
a preparation plan. So, you know, when they come to me like, what if I lose my job? Or what if we get evicted? Okay, what if? What could you do next? Okay, let's start looking at what next steps could be
right.
for those
what if
situations.
Right.
So now you have something tangible.
Okay, so back to the fact, and we got to take a break here in a couple minutes, but back to the fact that fear is the root
mm-hmm.
here. Okay, so are there a lot of situations in our lives where fear is dominating and controlling a lot of people? Is that what?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And they're not aware of it,
all
that
right.
it's fear.
Okay. Why? What do they think it is?
Concern.
Oh, concern. Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. And so the fear is so strong in some cases that it morphs into anxiety?
Yeah, absolutely. And so sometimes, you know, things that we become anxious are could have really just been like a bad experience. For someone, you might have been bitten by a really bad bug and had this huge reaction. And now you're afraid to go outside because all bugs are bad. And so sometimes it happens from something real and something
yeah.
bad happened from that real. And then we kind of generalize it to everything.
How about people who are afraid of flying, for instance, and maybe never have been on a plane, but have seen that there have been a few crashes around the world through the years?
Yes, they have. You know, it's funny you mentioned that because I just read a report today that was talking about how there's been no commercial airline deaths for like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, yeah, I did too. I read that too. And so that's.
But they're still afraid.
But there's still people, and I know them. I know some that are afraid to fly. And it's really, according to statistics, safer than driving your car.
Absolutely it is.
Okay. So does reasoning, this is my point, does okay. reasoning really work when you're battling anxiety?
It depends on the person.
Okay.
You're going to get my could be answer.
All right.
Because some people who are very logical minded, when you can give them evidence, it helps them to reduce that anxiety. Some people, that evidence won't impact that worry at all.
Whoa.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy.
Woo! Love that. I love that song. I think that's one of the coolest songs when it comes to this topic, don't you? Because so often, as we've been talking, and if you just now joined us in the second half of Go Yard, which means, by the way, hitting a home run in life, and we're always talking about topics that are going to help you in your daily life and give you a sense of direction, maybe a sense of peace as you work through issues going on. And that's why we're in this series, part two of Overcoming Anxiety, because anxiety is one of the greatest things that we all face.
It is, and it really can feel like it's shackling you back from living the life you want to live.
It tends to do that, doesn't it? I mean, it's very controlling, this whole concept of anxiety.
It robs us. It absolutely can rob us.
If some of you out there would like to comment or would like to call in and talk to Dr. Angel and ask a question, we'd be happy for you to do that. 727-441-3000. And Pete will answer the phone and get you right over to us. 727-441-3000. So we chose this topic, and it's kind of an interesting topic to start a new year with, don't you think?
I do, and I think it's a good timely time to take this topic in, because this is the time where we have kind of reflected where we've been in the last year, looking at where do I want to go, and start thinking, am I where I want to be?
Right.
And you're not, you may not be. Most of us probably aren't where we want to be at in some area of our life. And then we start feeling the fear.
Right.
That I can't.
Right.
And all that kind of stops us from going where we want to go. And so if we want to really realize our potential,
right,
we've got to learn to, we need to overcome anxiety instead of letting anxiety overcome us.
And so I totally agree. And as we start this new year, I think a lot of people maybe look back on some awful things that happened in the last year or the year before, and they're afraid mm-hmm. that those things will repeat themselves in their lives, whatever they might be. And so it's easy to fall into a trap of anxiety, I believe,
so
don't you?
So easy. So easy. And overcoming anxiety doesn't mean you're not going to feel afraid.
Right.
It means you do it afraid.
Right. You just go ahead and do it.
Keep going forward. You don't let it stop you.
Yeah. Ever done something crazy? I know you have. You talked last week about roller coasters, but ever parasailed or done anything mm-hmm. like that? Have you parasailed?
I haven't. I want to parasail, but I've ziplined.
But you've ziplined. Okay. So how did that feel when you were up there getting ready to get on that line and zip across whatever jungle you were in?
I've done it in many jungles and very anxious. I was like,
really?
Oh, yeah. I could feel my heart rate going and my breathing.
Okay.
I was like, it was scary once you get up there and you're seeing how far down you're going to go. Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Absolutely.
Okay. So
and the first time I probably had looks of terror on my face, but it was so much fun and all the things that I thought could happen and go wrong. Everything was fine. Nothing went wrong. Nothing happened. And now I love it.
Really? So just taking off on that line.
Yeah, I had to go for the jump.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have sat there too much longer, I probably would have talked myself out of it.
One of my nephews, Craig, after school and as he was entering young adulthood, went on a trip to South Africa. Ooh. And he learned to bungee jump. And he would send us these. And when he came back, of course, we saw videos of him doing this. And it was, for those of us that know him, and this was a kid who hated the water as a young man, very young. I mean, as a child, didn't learn to swim till after all of his cousins had learned.
Aww.
He was like the last one. Then he became the water sports guy and used to take jet ski tours and all that. But he overcame that. And then he went so far as to go become a bungee jumper many, many times. And some of the bridges and things he jumped off of was just like, you got to be kidding me. But it's interesting to see that in your own family where somebody that has maybe had a reputation of afraid to even swim, afraid to go out on a boat, whatever the case may be, becomes the person who leads the jet ski tours, you know, and all this. Interesting.
How he chose to overcome anxiety.
Right.
He's owning it. He's controlling it. And he actually let it kind of propel him into a passion of learning to conquer it over and over and over. And every time he gets on that bungee or gets in that water, he's overcoming it again.
So what do you say to somebody who says, you know, I have allowed life or my circumstances to keep me from enjoying things I would have liked to do? I mean, you hear about, okay, what was it? Former President Bush, Poppy Bush, skydived at age 90.
Oh, wow.
You didn't know that?
No, I did not know
that. Yeah, he jumped out of a plane, didn't he, Pete? Poppy Bush, as I remember.
Who?
Poppy, well, that's who they call him sometimes. Former President Bush, the first one.
Daddy Bush.
Yes, he jumped out of an airplane and skydived.
I think you're right about that. He did. Yeah. Was that wartime?
No, he did it like recently, like in the last few years.
Why would you jump out of a perfectly good plane? I never understood that. Like,
see, that's
here's what I'm going to go ahead and do. I'm going to either eat unhealthy or I'm going to jump out of a perfectly good plane. Let me think. Let me see what I'm going to choose. Oh, I'm going to eat unhealthy. Do you know why? There's a reason why you fly a plane. It's to fly a plane. I'm not a plane, so I'm not jumping out of a plane.
So you wouldn't want to bungee jump either, like my nephew, right?
Why?
No, I wouldn't either. But
I could fall down on the ground. I got vertigo, so I can just fall down on the ground already. Why do I need to do that for?
Don't you have some respect for people that have just tried something crazy at a late age? Maybe he was 80, but he was 80 or 90. He's only 94.
What's that old saying there, Mama Mac? Somebody jumps off a bridge, do you do it too? Absolutely not. Of course I have respect for those people. That's why I won't do it.
That's right.
Leave it to the professionals.
There you go.
That's exactly right. Good point. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete,
for your input.
Absolutely.
So it's not that we're saying to our audience, you have to do something wild and crazy.
No, we're not saying
that, although we have examples of people like my nephew, like the president, who did do something quite courageous and crazy.
Absolutely. But, you know, here's the thing is when you look at your life and as you've reflected, and I'm sure a lot of people have reflected the last couple of weeks, and you start thinking, you know, what is it I really want to do and what's holding me back?
It's bungee jumping for you, isn't it?
No, not.
Oh, it's not.
I totally want to parasail, though. I've always wanted to parasail.
Parasail.
But I want to parasail off the coast of Costa Rica.
not off of Clearwater.
No.
Okay, but so the question is, what's holding you back for those things that make you anxious, right?
Absolutely. And what is holding you back? And really looking at that, what's keeping you from making those steps or trying the things you want to try?
So I guess the answer is fear for most people.
Yeah, the answer boils down to fear at the root. But what else is holding you back? You know, what's keeping you from trying to go back to college? What's keeping you from whatever it is you want in your life, what's keeping
that's
you from
a good
it?
Example and not so out there like my example of bungee jumping or parasailing or zip lining, but people that have always wanted to finish their education and they never have done it. Good point. You want to address that.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of times the thought of going into a college classroom and you're 45, let's say, and everybody in there is 18.
Go ahead and rock it. Go rock it.
Rock it.
You know what?
Rock it. I agree.
That's it. Rock that gray hair.
Exactly.
Especially me. I rock it all the time. It don't matter. You know what? At the end of the day, you really hold yourself back. That's what it's all about.
That's the person
that you look at in the mirror every morning, if you're satisfied with what you do and how you are and who you are, then that's cool. But if you're not, the person that's really holding you back is yourself.
That's it.
I want to be on TV. You know who's holding me back? Most likely me and opportunity, but most likely it's a lot of me. So at the end of the day, in order to get over that or overcome that, I have to look within inside myself and say, you know what? This is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to go about doing it and go out and do it.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's it. You're exactly right.
That's it.
And thank you for that input.
You're welcome.
That's very good.
He's on fire tonight.
He is, isn't he?
I am. Thank you.
But you know what? He does have a good point here because so many people will stay in their cocoon of, always living the same way they always have. Thinking, wishing, looking at people on TV, I wish I could do this, or I wish I had that, or I wish, and they don't make any effort to get there, right?
No, and, you know, you may, and just try something new. You know, get out of our cocoon. You know, cocoons will keep us built in fear.
Absolutely.
Cocoons are all about
fear.
Fear. We right. stay in it because it's safe
right.
in some way to us. And it's not, because most people are not happy. They're miserable.
Right.
And that cocoon.
Right. And so one of the reasons we're doing this show is to help people understand that they can decrease anxiety. They can evaluate their situation, realize, whoa, that's fear that's holding me back. Not me, you know, in my rational mind. That's really fear saying, you know, don't do that. You might get hurt, or this might happen, or that might happen, right?
Absolutely. And it does hold us back. It will become the shackle that keeps you stuck where you don't want to be.
Exactly. Okay, so back to the difference between anxiety and stress. So let's talk about that a moment, because the anxiety is based in fear. What about the stress? What's the difference here?
Well, stress is based in a stressor, something that is kind of pushing pressure against
okay.
something we have limited of, our time, our money, our energy, something that we have a limited supply of, and there's something putting pressure against that. That's a stressor.
Okay.
And that's the stress you're feeling, that pressure getting pushed against your time, your resources, your energy, something like that.
Right.
So stress, when the stressor is relieved, that pressure is up, you don't feel that feeling of stress anymore.
So you have a deadline for work and a big report is due and you work, and you feel stressed to get it done.
You're feeling stressed to get it done.
But you get it done.
And then that stressor is gone and you're not feeling that stress from that event anymore.
Okay,
that's stress. Anxiety is
okay.
Once that stressor is done and you turn that work report in, you still feel the stress and the worry. And now, is it going to be good enough? Are they going to like it? Did I do this right? Did I do that right? Am I going to have to, you know, all those questions will start coming
through. What I keep hearing you saying are obsessive thought patterns.
Oh, anxiety is all in our mind.
Okay.
Not to qualify, you know, quantify it as real. It is real, but it lives and rules in your mind.
Okay.
It's in your thinking.
Not your toe, not your knee.
No, it is what we think about.
Okay.
And people who have anxiety are thinking about what if, or all this worst case scenarios or bad kinds of thoughts. And sometimes they'll just challenge it when they're like, oh, what if, you know, what if I lose my job? What if you keep your job?
Right.
You know, and they're just look at me like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, well, what if?
Right. Yeah. Because that's a good way to determine this whole thing, right? So when somebody is in a very stressful situation, and you're just now saying, let's clarify that when the stressor is removed, whatever it might be,
mm-hmm.
A big exam,
a deadline, a financial bill you have to pay. Once that stressor is removed, then you're not feeling the stress from that event anymore.
Okay. So, but if you continue in the anxiety, you know that this is deeper, there's more to it, and it's become more of a way of life. Is that possible?
Absolutely. It can become a way of life. And, you know, if you're sitting there and you're still feeling that pressure and there's that stressor is not there, it's not doing anything but hurting you.
Right.
And it's doing a lot of damage. And just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. And so we have to start taking back some of our power. And the first place we take that power back is in the way we're thinking.
So it's about a mindset renewal.
Totally about a mindset renewal.
So we've got to fall out of agreement, so to speak, with the anxiety and the panic, because there is kind of a rush, right? An adrenaline
it
rush.
It does release hormones. Stress
right?
hormones. Yes, it
stress
releases
hormones,
your stress hormones.
And how do those feel?
Well, they have an elation feeling, and
right.
then once they settle, a very big dropping feeling. And so,
kind of like the roller coaster we talked about
like
last
that
week.
Roller coaster.
As you're going up that roller coaster, mm-hmm. and then as you're coming down, you would think you would feel fine, it's over, but you realize you're getting ready to
go back up.
You're going back up.
They do. It does. It does release stress hormones throughout your body. It'll overload your system, and so yeah, there's a spiking of energy and then just a drop of that energy that happens.
Okay.
And so it
and
can
that
be,
can't
that cycle
feel good.
Can be almost
that can't
addictive for some people.
Okay. So for some people, they like that cycle.
You know, kind of those adrenaline junkies, Yeah, they like that hard release of the, you know, epinephrine and the adrenaline glands releasing all those stress hormones.
Got cortisol, a deadline, got a deadline, got through. A deadline.
Yeah. Some people, like, they work well when they're releasing that much chemical. But the problem is they're shutting down a lot of their systems inside their body. Our bodies weren't made to work like that.
Okay.
They're made to be able to have those stressors for short periods of time, not stay that way.
Not stay. So, all right. So what do we do to help decrease anxiety? That's the question right now that our audience is asking. What are some things we do? You just said it's mindset renewal. How do you do that, Dr. Angel?
It is absolutely in a mindset renewal. And I think that's the first place. That's where your battle for this is really at. And we have to start working there. Just, it takes a while to get a mindset. It took you a while to get in that mindset of fear and worry and, you know, thinking bad things are going to happen consistently. It's going to take you a while to learn to retrain those thoughts.
Right.
So it's a conscious effort. So when you're finding yourself in that conversation of, oh, doom and gloom and bad, you got to learn to have people stop you. Stop me when you hear me talking about worry, because you may not even be aware you're doing it.
And I think people that get into that, they do continue. It seems like in conversation, they will gravitate back to that negative. What if this happens? Or this is looking really bad. And it's not okay just to agree with them, right? I mean, just to make them happy. I mean, to, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, if we love people, we need to be honest with them.
Okay.
You know, I think that's some truth in a relationship. And, you know, some people just get on the bandwagon because they're got anxiety and they like that rush of those hormones going through them too. And we got to be careful. We can't gravitate towards people who are struggling with anxiety as well and think they're going to help us get through it because they're in the same struggle we are.
Right.
And so we need to find people who tend to stay more calm, tend to, you know, look like they can get through things a little easier without feeling like they don't look like they're falling apart, like what you're feeling like you're doing on the inside.
Right.
And learning just to kind of change what I'm thinking about.
So it's a matter of a conscious awareness that, oh, I'm falling into anxiety and I need to be more aware of this and stop it before it gets out of control.
Absolutely. And some of those things that will help is just stopping and staying in the moment. Anxiety is all about the future. When
Good
we're thinking
point.
About the future,
right.
We're not in the here and now. And we're missing our life in the here and now because we're so concerned about
That's a great
the future.
Point. That's a great point.
And
what
so
could be?
Keeping your thoughts in the present is like one of the most helpful things you can do.
I think that's huge what you just said, because there's so many people that are living in that this might happen or this is going to happen. And then what will I do? And whatever, whatever, whatever.
I guess. Absolutely. You know, when I find most people, they're either in their future or in their past, and most people are not sitting in the moment that they're
That's
in.
That's huge. That is really a huge concept right there.
We're missing it.
This would help most people with anxiety if they realize they've got to live right now, in the moment, that carpe diem, seize the day.
Right here.
Right now, make the most of today. And that would include not stressing and not like about what's going on or could happen.
Right. If you're in the moment, you can't be talking about what's going to happen in that moment. You're here. So, and it's feeling that whole moment, experience it. Really think about what it feels like to sit in a chair. You laugh.
That's a good point.
Feel your feet on the floor. Feel you know, your body in that chair. Feel your breath go in your body. What parts of your body does that breath touch? Like, that's being in the moment.
Wow.
When you eat, think about what flavors are you really, is it salty, is it sweet, is it bitter?
Oh my gosh.
That's staying in the moment though. And if you're thinking in the moment in those ways, your brain isn't trailing and down the worry path. And so for people whose brains keep wanting to go down the worry path, one of the first things we do to kind of help train that brain to stay here with us is really just experience what they're experiencing right here and right now.
Be very aware. Awareness.
Aware of it.
What about gratitude for what's going on right that moment, too?
Gratitude is great because that takes you to the moment.
Right. I think it takes you to the moment.
Takes us to the moment. Plus, we're focusing on positives and not what ifs and all those, you know, negative things that could happen, which is our brain needs to be full of truth, but positive truth. And, you know, yes, things can go wrong. However, we can plan for things that we can foresee. And we need to live it in this moment. Sometimes we make those bad things happen because we've thought about them for so
long. Over and over again.
It's become our reality.
Yes, it's become our reality. So these are good things. Okay, so, and meditating on the blessings and the good things going on and meditating on scripture, if you're a person of faith, that's going to help you tremendously.
Being in the moment.
Yeah.
Reading a book and read it out loud. So that you're using multiple senses. Now you're
That's interesting.
Reading it out loud, you're hearing it, you're saying it, you're using more of your body. You have to stay, your brain isn't wandering into what's going to happen when you're in the moment. And so one of the things, find a fun book and just read it out loud to yourself.
I know that works for scripture with me. When I read it out loud, it gets down on the inside of me better than just thinking it.
Because it's taking more of your body to focus and concentrate in the moment.
Hmm.
Now your ears are working, not just your eyes. Your mouth is working. And so those are good things to help us bring our rope our thoughts back around.
Okay. How about the person who tends to have worry buddies in their lives? You know what I mean by worry buddies?
I totally know what you mean by worry buddies. Because you guys just hang out and the thing you're doing is worrying together. They feed each other's worries.
Yeah.
And, oh, my gosh, you didn't think about this worry, though. What if that happened? And
right.
Yeah, we got to not be in that. We got to take ourselves out of that.
Yeah. So this is good advice for people who want to overcome anxiety. But are there people out there in our audience that perhaps enjoy it?
You know, there are people who enjoy it. It's become a way of life.
Right.
And they'll sit and they'll tell me, oh, well, this doesn't work for me. And they'll try it once. I'm like, it's not a one and done. It's a lifestyle.
Right.
It is a practice. You know, and so it's something that we have to put energy and work into to getting our thoughts and our body to stay here in this moment in time. But you will enjoy your life so much more if you're in this moment in time.
Yeah. So that's really what we're talking about. And overcoming anxiety, as we said last week and now again tonight, there's hope because you can do this. You can restructure your mindset and you can take action to overcome some of this panic and things that happen.
And there are so many great things you can do. Exercise will help you with that. It'll release, you know, good stuff in your body to help absorb some of that energy. Sensory walks, that's fun. Here in Florida, we can do it easy. Go to the beach, take off your shoes, and smell the salt.
Wonderful.
Feel the sand in your feet. Feel the warmth.
Sensory walks. I didn't know that
term.
Think
of all the senses that happen at the beach.
Oh,
the
it's wonderful.
The birds. When you really hear it and smell it, it's,
yeah,
and
feel it.
It's very therapeutic.
And see it.
Yeah.
See the water. I mean,
and
people will say, well, why is the water so relaxing? But it's. I can take a nap so quick. Bam. Sit down in a chair by the beach and hear the waves coming and feel the breeze. So that's, what'd you call that? A sensory what?
That's a sensory walk when you go.
Sensory walk.
And you can
I
do
like
it in
that.
Parks. Just feel what you're doing, you know, and you're right. The beach is very therapeutic. I can go on a cruise and get a room with a balcony, and I will just sleep on that balcony because I love to hear the boat cut through the water all night. It's one of my favorite. It's so just relaxing to me.
Wow. Okay, so whatever is relaxing to you out there. So reading a book out loud. Now, we're getting to the nitty-gritty of how to overcome anxiety and really work
on this.
These are
really good things to do to bring your thoughts
so
in the
moment.
So
read something out loud, right? Exercise.
Just experience the here and now.
That's living in the now instead of what if.
In the moment. And you will really just, you know, a lot of times just walk in your neighborhood. And if you really start paying attention, you'll be like, I didn't know that was there. I didn't know. Like, you start noticing things
you never
noticed.
Right. Take a walk in the woods, and that's really.
Oh, and there's so many cool sounds. Until you don't realize the sounds until you listen for them.
Right. And so all of these things, being in the moment, are really overcoming anxiety. They calm you down.
Because when you're in this moment, you can't be worrying about what's going to happen. When I'm listening for those birds to chirp or looking at that sun glisten off the water, my mind isn't.
Oh, no.
Can't run away from me.
No.
And that's the first thing we got to learn to do is retrain our brain. Because our brain's been trained very, very, very well to go straight to what if, bad, bad, bad.
Very important way to start this new year. Last week's show and tonight's show, overcoming anxiety. So just sum it up for us, Dr. Angel. I think we'll have a new topic by next week. So Summing it up. Yeah, sum it up.
Well, you know, everyone feels anxious, and if you find yourself, it's holding you back, you're not living the life you want to live, it's time to let go of that anxiety and learn to overcome it and not let it overcome you. And learn to stay in your moment, learn to breathe, learn to just experience what's happening now.
That's so cool. I love that.
Look for what's
good. A sensory walk. I love a sensory walk.
Isn't that cool?
Because I do that when I go to the beach, but, you know, I didn't know to call it that, but that's what it is, isn't it? Because you're feeling, seeing, smelling.
You can even taste that salt sometimes on the tip of your tongue when it's so strong in the air. And it's just learning to let it go. Learning to let it go. And if, you know, you're sitting, you find yourself, Dr. Angel, I just can't stop focusing on this bad stuff. Well, make a plan. What if it happened? Okay, what can you do?
Right.
What can you do? Have a plan of action. So if it does, you're ready to go, and then you can let it go and keep staying in your moment, walking forward.
Because it's so important to not live your life deep in anxiety, because that you're just missing out on so much.
You're missing so much. You're not happy. You feel irritable and restless, and you're getting sick a lot. You're just not living the best you can. There is no go-yard living when we're in anxiety. And so taking some deep breaths and really learning to get yourself over that anxiety.
And finding out what the root of that fear is for you. Some people need to think about that or figure
it out. Absolutely. And maybe, you know, professional help is always out there.
Absolutely.
Making sure you're getting your body physicals, because any one system off in the body can trigger some of this stuff and make it more challenging for you. And then get away from your, you know, anxiety buddies, your panic buddies.
Yes.
You know, you can be friends, but limit it. And find people who are calm
and positive
and those strong people in your world that you want to be like.
Right. Because that's a big part of the problem. I mean, magnifying the anxiety with people around you. So try your best to find yourself friends that will not do that with you.
Yes. Yes. Because you'll be going down a very slippery slope. You know, and one of my favorite phrases through life for me to let go of anxiety is, it is what it is.
Right.
And they're like, aren't you worried? It is what it
is. This too shall pass is one for me too.
I will take it and keep moving forward. I don't know what else to do, because
this too shall pass.
A lot of our life is what it is.
Right. And there's not a lot we can do about it, but we can learn to not stress over it. We can learn to not be anxious, and we can learn to overcome panic attacks, and overcoming anxiety is possible.
Totally possible.
Woo! That's a good note to leave on tonight, and we will start a new topic next week. So tell your friends about our show, Go Yard, and go to our website, goyard2014.org, and catch past shows. Also, right here, tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcast, go to Go Yard, and you will find the last week's show and a lot of other things. Well, shows here from the last 3.5 years. So there's plenty there for you to work with. And so we will be right back here next week, and we're excited about it. If you have a topic you want to hear discussed, send us a text or send us an email. Email goyard2014@gmail.com. You can hear this show again at 12 noon this week, Eastern Time, on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. It's been great to have this time to talk about this topic. And who are you?
I'm Dr. Angel.
Oh, you're Dr. Angel, and I'm Mama Mac. And it's good to be right here with you every Thursday night at 6:06 p.m. for Go Yard. See you next week.
Good night. Lease on life.